From the land of the Grand University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 5th day of October 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Dan will stick around, too, this afternoon to record our Commodity Week program at about 3 o'clock Central. We'll post that up to the website by about 5 tonight. Find it there at willag.org. Listen to it on our home station tomorrow during this hour and many of our other stations over the weekend. And also coming up this afternoon, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the basis, along with the river levels, with not only Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, but Mike Tenora, too. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. The rainfall we're getting now, maybe some on Sunday and Monday, might be helpful, but that could be the last chance for a while, says Mike. We'll have complete details as we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world on this Thursday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened in the soybean market today. Why did we rally a dime in the midst of harvest?
A couple things. The weather, rain that's in the forecast will probably slow down soybean harvest here in the Midwest. The other thing, export demand still remains fairly stout, with China still reportedly to be a buyer of soybeans in the world market. And then I think you still have longer-term worries about weather issues from South America, with the La Nina weather pattern in place. And finally, I think with the big run-up in spring wheat prices that we had last spring, we probably are going to take bean acres out of the spring wheat area for next year, upwards of maybe 4 million. So soybeans has a balance sheet that looks like it could be, at least it has a good reason to tighten, depending upon how everything plays out over the next, several weeks or the next few months in a way, until we get a good handle on what's going to happen in South America.
On the other hand, the corn balance sheet still looks like it has an awful lot of corn in it, and that we've got pretty good yields coming, at least in the early stages of harvest.
Well, that seems to be the market is just plain dead duck. I mean, it is holding sideways, but we've got a lot of harvest yet to go through, and it'll be interesting to see what happens when and if we do get some fairly aggressive hedge pressure. I know farmers probably aren't going to be big sellers of corn. It looks like Central Illinois cash corn is kind of bumping down, in that $3 area, $3.10, $3.15 or so. That can't be very attractive unless you're fortunate enough to have one of the higher ending yields. If you're getting 260 bushel of corn, that might work for you. If you're getting 230 bushel of corn, that probably doesn't look like it's working for you. But that's the way it is for right now, anyway.
Your expectations going forward?
Well, I think the first thing is soybeans. I've mentioned this before. Soybeans were able to go through the month of September counter-seasonal. That means they were able to go against the downtrending forces of seasonal pressure during the month of September. Now we're here in the first week of October. Now we still have another day to go, but beans are basically unchanged for the week. It'll be interesting to see whether or not beans will be able to close out the week higher. And if they do, I think that would be a strong signal that now that the uplifting seasonal influences for soybeans that usually take hold anytime after the first 10 days of October, maybe could lift the soybeans higher as we go through the month of October.
Corn's just the opposite. Corn did close lower for September, only marginally. I think we got a ways to go to see what happens, but corn looks to me like, and maybe even soybeans too, everybody's going to kind of wait around with their hands in their pocket until they see what the October crop estimates do, and if we have any major changes in planted acres or harvested acres, and how that may or may not change at least the short-term balance sheet for both corn and soybeans.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again during Commodity Week. We'll record about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the Department of Agriculture announced this week that more than $9.6 billion in payments would be made through farm safety net programs. USDA started sending out the payments this week as part of the Agriculture Risk Coverage, or ARC, and Price Loss Coverage, PLC, and Conservation Reserve Programs, or CRP. USDA is issuing approximately $8 billion in payments under the ARC and PLC programs for the 2016 crop year and $1.6 billion under CRP for 2017. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says many of the payments will be made to landowners and producers that have recently been ravaged by drought, wildfires, and deadly hurricanes. More than 500,000 farmers will receive ARC payments, and more than 250,000 farmers will receive PLC payments. We'll stay with the Secretary of Agriculture, who today commended Greg Ibaugh and Bill Northey, two nominees for key posts at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, for their joint appearance today at the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. President Donald Trump nominated Ibaugh to serve as Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, and selected Northey for Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation. The two await committee action and approval of the entire U.S. Senate. On another D.C. matter, the secretary says he's somewhat disappointed with the pace of the NAFTA negotiations, but he offered the U.S. farming community some hope, saying there is potential for serious agricultural discussions in round 4, slated to begin next week. Honestly, we've been somewhat disappointed in the first 3 rounds, but we think this is the way things get going, Perdue said at a Washington International Trade Association event. If you've ever watched a boxing match, they circle one another for a while, and I think we've been circling. The administration, he added, will lay some things on the table in this next round over some serious issues. Let's stay in D.C., where the U.S. and South Korea reached a common understanding on the need to amend the 5-year-old Corus trade agreement in order to increase benefits for both countries. The South Korean government said after a meeting yesterday between the country's top trade officials. And finally today, Chuck Grassley from Iowa back at it. The key biofuels senator says after speaking with President Trump, he now has a meeting with the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt to address the agency's apparent backtracking on the renewable fuel standard. Grassley says the latest EPA proposal to pair next year's biodiesel and advanced and total biofuel volumes by almost 500 million gallons would break President Trump's campaign vow to back the RFS.
Last Friday, I spoke to President Trump on the phone and expressed this point. He asked Administrator Pruitt to meet with me. We've scheduled a meeting for the afternoon of October 17th, and the reason it's the 17th is because Congress is not in session next week. So at that October 17th meeting, I will tell Administrator Pruitt that the proposal is counter to what the president has pledged.
The president pledged support for the RFS on the campaign trail and as recently as a few weeks ago in another phone call with Grassley. In an emotional floor speech last week, Grassley called the latest EPA RFS proposal outrageous and a bait and switch from an earlier plan, alleging big oil was once again prevailing at the Environmental Protection Agency.
Big oil may be accomplishing something in EPA it couldn't get through the Congress of the United States. So all I can say is it looks the same. And, you know, like a duck, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Grassley named Valero Energy as one firm that he says benefits from the proposed RFS, but the senator could not say if Valero was involved in the discussions with EPA, and the longtime biofuel supporter will not detail his latest talk with President Trump, but Grassley says he's very satisfied with the position Trump took during their conversation. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Thursday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds now joins us from Windsor, Illinois. Matt, I'm guessing that you're out of the field this afternoon, but maybe not.
Yeah, we're out of the field. We were hoping for a nice little shower, and we got a nice little big shower, actually. 2 to 3 inches in a lot of the places we farm. Given the fact that we haven't had rain in 10 weeks, I suppose it's not that big of a deal. We're kind of happy to get the rain. I don't know if we're going to get any follow-up or not, but I'd say by Monday you're not going to hardly know that it rained. So there's a few puddles here and there, but not very many.
So that'll be good, at least given where it is here in Illinois. That'll make its way into the Ohio and Mississippi rivers at some point, depending on where it fell. How much of a problem has the river and basis levels on it been for farmers across our part of the world?
Well, especially on the Ohio, it's been an issue. I think that, obviously they've had a lot of issues being able to get through. I think it's locks 51 and 53 maybe, but I've done a fair amount of talking to guys over in that part of the world, and they had up to 60 barges that were backed up, and obviously when you're in that situation you get a backlog of grain, and it's not the right time of year to have those sort of problems. And so it's definitely an issue. It has an impact on basis. Whenever you look at this bean basis, on the Mississippi, holy smokes. I mean, it's just absolutely crashed. And so, I look at our local bean basis, which was running 25, 30 under for quite some time, and we're currently running about 55 under. So as if a farmer hauls in beans to the elevator right now, instead of selling them today, I mean, they're going to pay you money to sell them in December. And so, you can store it there and still make money. So,
yeah, I made note of that you can take your beans, put them in the elevator and store them till January, and if you sold them for December delivery, you still make money on it.
Absolutely. And so, obviously they're buying all the beans they want. Corn's not as bad of a situation. You don't see that dynamic on corn that you see on soybeans. But, I've had a lot of producers say, I really don't want to pay the storage. I think I'm just going to sell the beans, and maybe re-own them. I said, well, take a very close look, because you don't want to throw money away. I mean, if you get a chance to sell on basis to December or a month of January and pick up an extra 15 cents, that's free money. And so by all means, I'm more than willing to take some of that. And I think it's very, very much a big issue for producers to be very aware of what's going on with this basis, especially with the beans right now.
Yeah, so I have some questions about that. So they'd be able to make that money, and when you say make that money, it's free money. So they ask them to store it, and they'd end up with 5 or 10 cents or something extra. However, many of them are thinking, I want to buy those back because I think the price of beans are going higher. Given the size of the crop we have, the number of acres that may or may not change, and I don't know whether you've got any thoughts about that for the October WASD crop production report due out next week. Is there reason to believe that soybeans have much to rally in them on the board?
Well, I think you probably know the way that I'm going to answer this already, Todd. But the way that I look at it is that, these early bean yields, obviously phenomenal. The farther along you got into harvest, they backed off just a little bit. But overall, on average, bean yields were better than expected for most of the people that are going to be listening to this program. And so do I want to re-own the beans because I'm looking for a rally? Hey, if I want to re-own the beans, it needs to be on a limited risk strategy. I don't want to spend more than 15 or 20 cents. I want to be realistic about the fact that these beans probably don't have a $2 rally in them like they do a lot of years, because as you suggest, I would agree, bean acreage is likely to increase in this report coming up. Yield, in my opinion, is probably not going to move lower. And so do I look for a bullish report here in October? Personally, I don't.
You think acreage will change?
I do. I think acreage is probably going to scale up a little bit. Most of what Research that I've done indicate that bean acreage is going to scale up a little bit. Corn's probably going to back off a shade. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to have much impact on the corn market. I do think that you'll probably see a little bit of an impact on the bean market. Yes, demand is phenomenal, but we are certainly throwing all the supply at that demand fire we possibly can.
And speaking of demand, there were some thoughts today, and this may have been one of the reasons that beans were higher, that China will be back in the market after their week off for holiday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're talking about being back in buying beans. You know, the last 2 weeks we just had phenomenal sales back to back, and then you come in this week, and you know, certainly a million metric tons isn't anything to be too awfully worried about. But bottom line is we're significantly lower than what we were the last 2 weeks, but it's still an awfully good number. And if the Chinese are going to continue buying at the pace that we've seen in the last couple, 3 weeks, then there's no question that we'll be able to catch these export sales up pretty quickly.
I take it one of the other supporting factors, and this may be for corn as well, as dry conditions in Mato Grosso in particular?
Yeah, you know, people are saying that there is a chance that we could actually see some of the acres that were supposed to be planted to corn. I read this morning just with Argentina and Brazil that some of those acres may get pushed over to soybeans, not to mention that the Brazilian farmers already slated to really back off as a percentage on corn acres to begin with. And so I think that they don't need a whole lot of coaxing at this point from some of the producers that I've talked to that are getting $1.52 a bushel for their corn. They just simply can't make that work. And so they did make money on soybeans this past year, but I've yet to talk to too many farmers in South America that have been able to tell me they made money on corn production last year, even though they had a huge crop.
Landworth and Informa out with some numbers today. 171.3 from Landworth for their corn number, 49.3 for soybeans. Informa at what, 170.5 on corn and 50 bushel the acre on soybeans. FC Stone earlier in the week, all of them coming to USDA's numbers are bigger.
Yeah, most people are. And I think, you know, I can understand that based upon actual harvest data. Now, I've been saying this quite a bit lately. Definitely the early yields, the earliest yields for corn and beans, super impressive for a lot of producers. I think that is only probably, I mean, your person has to understand that's going to make perfect sense whenever the rain shut off for a lot of people in the Corn Belt, you know, after the end of July. And so you go through this cooler month of August, but yet extremely dry. You got to expect that once you get farther into harvest, especially in the eastern Corn Belt where we had a lot of replanted corn, the yields are going to start to back off. And by all means, we've seen that. We got to be a little bit cautious, or the really later season stuff is the stuff that's going to be harvested after the October report going to be low enough to actually draw down some of the shine off of those early yields. And I don't know. It only remains to be seen. But my personal opinion is we'll probably scale up just a little bit on corn and bean yields here in this October report.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora is here. He's from T-Storm in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start with the river system. It's been dry for quite some time in the Midwest. The rivers are low. That's causing basis levels, or the difference between local price and the Chicago price, to widen out because they simply can't get barges down the river as efficiently as they could if the levels were higher. Any thought over the next couple of weeks that we might have some recovery?
Well, there's a couple of chances for rain out there, and we need a couple of those to verify. The way it looks at the moment, there's a high probability for heavy rain to the northwest of Illinois over the next 3 days. So we'll see a swath of heavy rain set up from Kansas into Iowa, into Wisconsin. That will feed into the Mississippi and Missouri River basins, and then that should move on to the south with time. We're looking for generalized rainfall of 1 to 2 inches, though there will be a swath or two in excess of 3 inches out in that area. So that's kind of your first chance for rain, Todd. But the better chance for the Ohio River and into the Mississippi Delta, that comes on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And it's all related to the eventual remnant circulation of Tropical Storm Nate. Right now, Tropical Storm Nate is located to the south of Cuba. That is going to move to the north and northwest over the next 2 days, and then eventually make landfall somewhere close to New Orleans on Sunday. Now, this is an important forecast because if the system moves a little bit further to the west, we'll see some big rains along the Mississippi River and also along the Ohio River. Those would essentially stretch from New Orleans to Memphis to Cairo, Illinois, and then up into the Cincinnati area and points on to the east. Now, if that system were to move just a little bit further to the east, though, then all of that rain would essentially fall, but it would miss these rivers and end up just a tiny bit over to the south and east of where they're located. So that's going to eventually determine how this whole situation ends up. If that system were to hit as currently expected, we could see a good 1 to 3 inch soaker across the entire Mississippi and into the Ohio River Basin. Again, all from Tropical Storm Nate. But we're still a few days out here from knowing exactly where that'll go. We know it'll make landfall on Sunday. It's just going to come down to exactly where it goes.
What other things have you been keeping an eye on, either here in the United States or across the planet?
Well, there's only two other things to really think about. And that's number one, what happens after this rain goes through over the next couple of days and then later on early next week. After that, it looks pretty dry. So these are your best chances for rain over the next 10 to 14 days. We'll see some showers and storms next week, but nothing major. These are your big chances right here. The other issue regards what's happening in Brazil. We saw a pretty good rain across most of the corn and soybean growing region last weekend. Now it's drying out again, and it looks to stay dry in the key central and northern areas over the next 5 to 10, even 15 days. We'd like to see a little bit more rain there because it is the dry season right now, but eventually we're going to start moving into the rainy season where it should be raining more regularly. At this point, it looks like there's not much on the near-term horizon, so they'll start to dry out a lot with time, and that'll lead us into the second half of the month where we'll be saying, hey, we need a little bit of rain. So that's something else to watch. Otherwise, the only other issue is that southern Brazil and Paraguay, just to the south of where this dry area is developing, they'll be real wet. 3 to 6 inches of rain over the next 10 days in south Brazil and Paraguay. They average around 6 inches for the entire month of October. So this is a pretty big deal for them. All in all, not the best situation for planting in Brazil at the moment. But once we start to see these rains spread out with time, more than likely toward the end of this month, then things will start to smooth out a little bit.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.